Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Willem Wellner speaking. I'm here with our CFO, Olaf Borkers, and Niklas Lissner from Investor Relations. Thank you for joining our call on the preliminary results for 2017, which we published last night, and therefore a bit earlier than announced. In the light that we, to some extent, exceeded our forecast and the rather big difference of the valuation results compared to 2016, and also given the current sentiment in the stock market, in the shopping center segment, with a rather high sensitivity to news, either way, we considered it necessary to announce the preliminary numbers a little earlier. Let's start with the basis of our business, the operations, on page one. 2017 was a challenging year for the retail, stationary retail. This is also and especially true for Germany. On the one hand, the good economical and consumption climate supports the retail industry as a whole. On the other hand, e-commerce is growing fast, and in the inevitable evolution process of the retail industry towards a multi-channel world is ongoing, and it is burdensome and challenging for some, but not all segments and individual retailers. In this situation, the turnovers in stationary retail actually miss nice growth figures on average. However, looking at the different segments, the numbers look more diverse, with some unexpected outcomes. By looking at such numbers, one should also bear in mind that the sales of our tenants were again influenced by special weather conditions, but maybe in the light of the climate change, this peculiar weather behavior is a new normal. But let's get to the numbers. Overall, and for the full year 2017, we saw stable turnover for our home market, Germany. That's plus minus zero. Here, the top performers, electronics, plus 5, food catering, plus 2.7, and services, plus 2.3, they all showed a solid increase. These three groups already showed good figures after the first 9 months of 2017. Interestingly, the electronics segment, which in the last years was by some voices expected to be more or less vanished from physical shop space, is showing very good numbers, even though there was no special event in 2017 that would have accelerated their sales, e.g. like Olympic Games or Soccer World Championship. Here the multi-channel evolution is at full speed, and Ceconomy, our main electronics leasing partner, is well leveraging on that integrated multi-channel world with, according to their data, 50% of all online sales being generated in-store and 44% of all online sales being picked up again in-store. Looking at the other segments, we saw some decreases. General retail, minus 2.2, and sports, minus 1.6%, again, were the weakest performers. Fashion, textiles with minus 1%, and shoes and leather goods with minus 0.6, turned slightly negative after weak fourth quarter, which was followed by the very strong third quarter. Department stores, minus 0.7, food, minus 1.5, and health and beauty, minus 1.4, also came down a bit compared to the Q3 figures, but again, looking at the like-for-like turnover in Germany, in total it was stable. Looking outside of Germany, we are happy to observe very positive turnover growth numbers, especially in our new acquisition Olympia Brno with an outstanding 7.7%. For the full year 2017, the like-for-like retail turnover growth of our centers abroad was 5.4%. For the Deutsche EuroShop group, that means that the overall like-for-like tenant sales increased by 0.8%. And looking at the total tenant sales, that is leaving aside the like-for-like adjustments, we saw a slight plus in Germany, plus 0.6%, and a solid plus of again 5.4% abroad, so that the overall tenant sales in all Deutsche EuroShop centers came out as a plus 1.5%. The rent-to-sales ratio decreased slightly and is now at a level of 9.1% for the German portfolio. Footfall in Germany increased by 0.3% in 2017, and our centers abroad showed even stronger figures with 1.1% plus. For the total Deutsche EuroShop portfolio, the footfall increased by 0.5%. Let's now look at our tenants base and the developments in 2017 on the next page. And here the main changes on this slide are the result of the demerger of the consumer electronics and the food retail division of the Metro Group. Therefore, H&M took over the role as our largest retail tenant with a proportion of 3.5% after 3.6% in 2016. Ceconomy, with their brands MediaMarkt and Saturn, is now our second largest tenant and accounts for 2.7% of the rents. Metro's share is now 1.7%, and Metro is represented in our shopping centers with their brand Real. Deichmann has now a share of 2.5%. The proportion of the rents we charge to our top 10 tenants in comparison of our total rent is slightly decreased to now 21.8% after 23.2% in the previous year. As before, a healthy setup. On the next page, we show you the maturity profile of our lease agreements. And with the 5.5 years of rental income supported by lease contracts, we feel comfortable going forward. There is a trend that some tenants prefer now shorter lease terms, aligning them more to the operational and market needs, e.g. concerning the life cycle of the products and shop concepts. And such development does not need to have a negative impact in itself, as it can support more or a more frequent modernization of the shop concepts and the brands. But now let's come to the financials, and let's do it top-down as before, and benchmarking the preliminary numbers of 2017 with our guidance. And you'll find that on the pages 4 and 5. Total revenues increased to 218.5 million, so we are, as expected, in our range of 216 to 220 million. EBIT was 192.4 million. That is above the communicated range of 187 to 191 million. EBT excluding valuation with 153.3 million was also above the expected range of 145 to 148. And finally, FFO per share came out with 2.54 €. The expected range here was 242 to 246. While this is positive news and very much appreciated, some of the effects leading to that are one-off items. Without those effects, we would also outperform our guidance ranges slightly, however, not to the extent just outlined to you. On page 6, we'll now go through the P&L in more detail. Revenues increased by 7% in total. Our new center in Brno contributed 15.3 million to that revenues, starting from Q2 2017. For Olympia, we came out slightly above our expectations as we received higher than expected turnover rents and rents from more leasing. The rents in our standing assets developed in line with the numbers we have seen in Q2 and Q3 2017. That is a slight decrease of 0.7% on a like-for-like basis. Total nominal property operating and management costs were slightly higher than 2016, an amount of 1.1 million, growing only slightly with the additional center. With around 9.9%, the overall cost ratio was stable on the level of 2016 and even somewhat below our internal planning, as maintenance costs and especially write-downs on receivables were much lower than expected. Including all the effects, the NOI increased by 12.1 million to now 197 million. The other operating income increased to 2 million because of reversals of provisions on a good level, and as a one-off due to an extraordinary income resulting from a settlement of a claim with one construction company, which was ongoing for some time. Corporate costs also came down to 6.6 million, mainly due to extraordinary acquisition cost items and finance costs that occurred in 2016. The total EBIT was then up 8% to now 192.4 million euro. Net finance costs amounted to minus 35.1 million euro. The increase resulted from the lower equity result, which contributed plus 34.5 million to the financing cost. Here the main effect came from the lower valuation gains of the shopping center that we partially own in joint venture structures and which are accounted for by applying the at equity method. The valuation gain here amounted to 4.4 million in comparison of 28.7 million in the previous years. Yeah. Interest expenses on financial debt amounted to minus 54 million after minus 52.9 million in 2016. This effect resulted from interest cost savings due to refinancings, regular amortization payments, and a short-term interest agreement for one loan agreement on the one hand. and the additional interest on the new loan for Brno. Finally, the positive effects from the PLL-relevant swaps contributed another 0.6 million to the change. This all will be easier to follow once we come to the bridges later in the call. Let me sum up the overall picture for the group on slide 6. Here the changes are heavily dominated by the difference in the valuation gain in comparison to 2016. The EBT, including valuation, was down by 41% to 165.8 million euro, and with taxes of 31.5 million, which are also mainly lower due to the decrease of the deferred tax liabilities relating to the valuation gains, the consolidated profit decreased by 39% to now 134.3 million euro. Let's talk a little more about the valuation gains on slide 7. And some general remarks at the beginning. The year 2017 again proved that the demand for shopping centers continued to be solid. Correspondingly, prices increased again, but just slightly. This development was also the main driver for the slight appreciation of our assets by 0.6% on amount of 12.9 million. There are 8.5 coming from the consolidated assets after minorities, and 4.4 million coming from the assets held by the equity companies. The year development quoted by real estate agents, and also these numbers suggest that the price development for shopping centers in generally has properly topped out. While it is said that there is still a good volume of shopping centers supply in the market, e.g. in Germany, we're feeling the market has lost its heat and seems to normalize. This might be a sign that shopping center investors also might have become more cautious in the light of the sentiments surrounding the shopping center segment, e.g. the fast growth of e-commerce. We, of course, will watch the market closely to see where it is heading. On page 8, we now come to the underlying major valuation parameters that have been applied by our valuators, Jones Lang LaSalle. The first chart you will see for the portfolio, the development of the weighted average of the NOI yield and the net initial yield. And the average yield compression was just one basis point for the portfolio and reflects somehow the situation at the investment market. The weighted NOI yield of the portfolio stands now at 5.23% and the net initial yield at 4.93%, almost unchanged. Sensitivity of the valuation result to changes of the main value drivers for such valuations are provided at the table. At the bottom part of this page, as you can see, the sensitivity is as usual highest for the changes in the assumptions of the rent developments and the discounts and the cap rates. After valuation, we now come to the bridges, and that starts on page 9. Easy to follow. Olympia contributed 15.3 million to our turnover in 2017, and the revenues from the standard asset saw a slight decrease of 1.9 million or 0.9%. The like-for-like rents contributed minus 1.5 million or minus 0.7%. The remainder resulted from lower penalty payments from tenants, where the lease term ended earlier than scheduled. Let's come to the bridge for the financial result on page 10. In absolute terms, the financial result deviated by 21.2 million from the previous year's numbers. Following the steps in this bridge from the left, you can see that the interest cost decreased nicely, ending 2.2 million lower than 2016. And next, you can see that the interest cost for a newly acquired Olympia in an amount of 3.4 million are now included. On the other hand, the operational result from the at equities increased. For Starpark, the increase was 3.5 million, as the center was contributing for the first time for a full calendar year. The other participation contributed plus 0.8 million. The valuation gains of the assets held at equity decreased substantially to now 4.4 million, which is 24.3 million lower than 2016. And the P&L relevant swaps contributed another 0.6 million euro to this change. The minority profit share increased by the same amount. So all in all, the financial result came in with minus 35.1 million euro. If you look on the next page at the EBT bridge, you should be in mind that all major or all main operating results, e.g. the EBT before variation, the EPRA earnings, or the FFO, improved visibly. However, as the valuation result contributed 132.6 million less than 2016, EBT including valuation came down by 115.7 million to now 165.8 million. The other major changes came from Olympia, plus 10.5 million, and Sarpark, plus 3.5 million. The remainder resulted from the increase of the operating profits of the standing assets by 4.2 million. And finally, let's now come to the profit bridge on page 12. This again looks similar to the EBT bridge with a very dominating effect from the valuation. Here, the individual changes can be commented as follows. Olympia contributed 9.1 million, Sarpark Center again 3.5 million. The profits of operations of the standing assets improved by 3.9 million, whereas the valuation result after tax was 103.4 million lower than last year. All these effects resulting in the total profits, as stated before, was 134.3 million euro. What does it mean for our EPRA earnings? We show this effect on page 13. With a total amount of EPRA earnings of 141.3 million and an increased time-weighted number of shares of now 58.2 million end year 2017, the undiluted EPS was €2.42, and this is an increase of 13 cent or 5.7%. For the FFO numbers, please follow me to page 14. Our FFO for 2017 was 148.1 million, which is 18.2 million higher than last year. On a per share basis, the FFO grew from €2.42 to now €2.54, which is a plus of 5.4%. And here we mainly see the positive effects from the lower operational and the financing, lower financing costs, as well as from our new center, Olympia. Now let's come to the balance sheet, page 15. The major effects comparing 2017 with 2016 come again from the acquisition of Olympia, which led to an increase in the investment properties by 374 and to a goodwill of 53.7 million euro. Such goodwill had to be created with the consolidation of that center in respect of deferred tax liabilities resulting from unrealized valuation gains. Such goodwill will not be realized holding the asset long term. The positive operational and valuation results of the at equities led to an increase or an additional increase of the long-term assets by 11.4 million euro, and the current assets also increased by 44.2 million, mainly driven by a higher liquidity, which now stands at 106.6 million euro. The group entity grew by 321 million euro. The main driver for the change here was, of course, a capital increase in March 2017, which we used to finance the acquisition in the Czech Republic, and the conversion of the convertible bond in November in an amount of 99.4 million euro. Financial liabilities in total were higher by 101.1 million euro. On the one hand, the financial liabilities increased through the assumption of the existing financing of Olympia, an amount of 165 million, and the take-up of a new loan of 130 million to further refinance the acquisition of Olympia and Sarpark. On the other hand, financial liabilities were reduced through the conversion of the convertible, regular loan amortizations, and the repayment of our credit line by 80 million. The deferred tax liabilities increased by 80.4 million euro, also mainly in connection with the unrealized valuation gain for the Olympia acquisition, and other liabilities were 3.1 million lower. The major effect here was a reduction of the negative market values for the interest swaps. Looking at the overall picture, our balance sheet presents itself again stronger. Our equity ratio improved nicely by 1 percentage point, now 55.6%, including minorities, and our total, our LTV came down from 34.2% to 32.4% on a consolidated basis. On a look-through basis, that is the LTV calculated fully proportionally according to the group share in all assets, independent whether they are consolidated or held at equity, the LTV now stands at 34.5%, also a very reasonable number. Coming to our EPRA NAV, which is presented on the pages 16 and 17. The year-end 2017 EPRA NAV per share now stands nearly unchanged at 43.19 after 43.24 year-end 2016. On the next page, which is page 18, we give you some more information of our debt. Our consolidated debt, of some 750 million, become due in the next 5 years. We still see potential for some reductions in our interest costs over the next years. And here the legacy findings are the main reason for, looking at today's level, still high average interest rate of 2.89%. The average interest rate already came down significantly from 2016, where we stated still 3.7%. Given the current interest rate level and quotations from bank, we can refinance our debt around 1.75% per annum at the moment in Germany, and in CEE around 25 to 50 basis points above that number. On the next page, you will find a more detailed maturity profile and the corresponding interest rates of the debt. And in the table at the bottom of the slide, you see that also our non-consolidated loan offer from today's point of view some room for lower interest expenses, but not before 2020, which is not too far away looking from today's perspective. That leads us to page 20 and the outlook. And I want to finish my presentation with our forecast and confirming the published and numbers for the current financial year. In 2018, the acquisition of the Olympia Center will contribute to the revenues for a full year for the first time. We expect the consolidated revenues to come out within a range of 220 to 224 million euro. We expect an EBIT in a range of 193 to 197 million and an EBT before valuation between 154 and 157. The average time-weighted number of shares after conversion of our convertible will increase to 61.8 million, and we expect an FFO between €2.35 and €2.39 per share in 2018. In absolute terms, the FFO should rise by 3.5% to 145 to 148. But when reviewing such numbers, please bear in mind, as mentioned before, there were some one-off items that contributed to some extent to the results 2017. We'll provide you with all the details in our annual report, which we'll publish in April 27th. And by then, we plan also to issue our forecast for 2019. Looking at the business and the properties, we are currently rolling out our mall beautification and at your service program. Now centers in Dresden, Billstedt, Magdeburg, Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum, and Norderstedt. And for some of the centers, we expect to finalize the improvements already in late 2018. And for some of the other centers, it will last into 2019. Looking at financing, we're also working on this topic, and we are currently renegotiating an amount of 120 million and expect to sign this in the next weeks and months. And of course, we are really looking forward to propose an increase of our dividend to €1.45 for the current financial year. Thanks for listening, and I'm very happy to take your questions now. Operator, please go ahead.
The first question comes from the line of Thomas Neuhold of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I basically have three questions. Firstly, can you please elaborate in more detail on the nature of the one-offs which impacted 2017 results and what the total amount of the one-offs was? And secondly, I wanted to ask regarding the revaluation result, which portion is attributable to the Olympia Center in Brno? And the last question is on the guidance. Is the guidance including already potential financing cost savings from the upcoming refinancing of 120 million? And can you give us an indication how much cash interest costs you expect to save by the refinancing of this 120 million? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Looking at the one-offs, as we call them, I mean, the total amount is anything between 3-3.5 million, but there is no legal definition, of course, for the one-offs. But to give you more feeling about the nature, maybe let me start with the write-offs or on rent income that we have. It's this year at a really extremely low level, and given the market situation that we have, which is rather competitive, we are not really worried about, but we were positively surprised that it's really for normal times at the lower end. So that is one contribution. Another one is that maintenance repair, which we carefully plan, but of course you cannot do it, or it's very difficult to do it absolutely precise. But even there, we are in a range which for a normal year at a rather lower end. And if you add another half a million, for example, that was a settlement with the constructor, if you add up all those effects, this is, yeah, nothing that you would going forward consider to be normalized, so that's some extra effects. Then another big effect came from, and we have elaborated on that before, we appreciated the very low interest for our Gdansk Center, as we employed just a short-term loan while refinancing that property, and as we just closed the financing end of the year, but plan to do it, to have it closed earlier in the year already. There's not a negative news, but we just took the time to negotiate a very good deal. But this contributed another 1.1 million surrounding that and the question. And then in relation to that refinancing, we got a very, or let's say a visible FX loss, which is no real loss. It's just from the tax accounting point of view, a tax loss, which we appreciate some nice tax savings out of that. That was another 1 million. So if you sum all those effects up, and again, this is not a legal definition, but we feel that probably 3-3.5 million is probably considered to be special and not just to be multiplied into the next years. Nevertheless, these effects are real. Yeah, so we earn that money, it's or it improves the profits, but for the planning, if you compare that to the going forward, you should have that just in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Revaluation Olympia, yeah, Olympia was on the same level as we have bought it just 9 months before the end of the year date. So there was no big appreciation on that end. Or no depreciation, it's the same value. Yeah.
And your last question regarding the guidance for the financing. Yes, there is a refinancing included, the refinancing for our Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum, 110 million euros plus 10 million euros for the capex needed for the Rhein-Neckar Zentrum. That is the amount of 120 million euros, which was named by Wilhelm Wellner. Our indication, our forecast includes an interest rate of 3%, but in fact, indication today is around 1.75%, and we believe that we can sign the loan agreement within the next weeks.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Kai Klose of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Could you indicate how much in the financial results is for debt amortization?
It's roughly 260,000 euros interest savings due to repayments.
No, sorry, I was talking about debt amortization for debt repayments.
I mean, really redemptions.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, on average, it's, I mean, exactly for the year 2017? Or on average what we repay?
Oh, for the year, it's 22 million euros. For the fiscal year 2017, 22.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Andre Remke of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Mr. Werner, you mentioned the trend to shorter lease terms, probably also triggering all the potential to go earlier into modernization. What does it mean for your increase in, or is there a potential increase in expenses than to be expected?
I wouldn't link this to the specific issue that some retailers now like more flexibility and shorter terms. But in general, in the market situation where the tenants, it's more tenant market, the tenants' incentives usually increase. And if it's the other way around, if the market is booming, they decrease a little. But we have reflected that in our planning, but I wouldn't just link that to a little shorter terms. Yeah.
Mm. So you do not expect more costs related to earlier modernization methods?
No, but we do reflect going forward little higher capex on incentives for tenants, as they were very low in the past. And this is reflected in all of our plannings and guidance, or long-term plannings, I should say. Guidance is just for this year. But it's just coming from the market power the tenants have, which is higher than probably in normal times at the moment.
Mm, okay. Then a follow-up question to the refinancing, the 120 million. Sorry, or in particular, the 110 million you mentioned. Mr. Borkos, on the Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum, what was the original maturity on this loan?
It's
not due this year.
It was 10 years.
And it will be due
it will end
this
up
year
in,
or
in some
It
will
years?
End up in August 2019.
So here we have to expect some costs for the early for an early refinancing.
Yes, right? we will sign the loan agreement this year, and we will fix the interest rate perhaps some weeks or some months later, depending on the interest rate situation.
Yeah, but we will employ a forward rate, so we'll not incur breakage costs. One of breakage costs are getting in with a low interest rate now. What probably others do, we will just make a forward rate and have the interest savings then going forward from when the loan regularly is due.
So for this year you will pay the usual or the old rate, and for next year August 2019 we will see an increase in cash.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and you indicated in your forecast it is included with 3%, so it's quite this
conservative. Yes, it's a quite conservative assumption.
Yes, but including in the 2018, I guess there is no cost saving on the cash side.
Yes, so there's also a cost saving on the cost side, because we have the refinancing for our Altmarkt Galerie Dresden starting in October 2018, already refinanced at an interest rate of 1.6%.
And so this will become effective.
So what you will see this year is that the interest the impact of the interest saving will be visible in the fourth quarter of 2018. Due to the fact that we have the additional loan for the Olympia also in Q1, and on the other hand, we have the interest cost saving for the convertible starting in Q1.
Mm. Okay.
So for the first three quarters, you won't see any impact, and then in the fourth quarter, you will see the impact due to the refinancing of 72 million euros for the Altmarkt Galerie Dresden.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And the very last question on Mr. Werner, could you probably provide us with an update on the expansion in, or the planned expansion in Gdansk? anything here to say?
It's a long process, but we have some good news that we now got the permit to relocate a small underground stream, which is necessary from the water planning department's perspective, and we'll do so in the course of the year and further follow the project. But again, it's still a lengthy process. I think we reported a year ago that there was a flooding and we were affected quite a little bit, and the water department became a little sensitive of that. Of course, we could prove to them that we did all the things right, but it slowed up the process. So we are slowly proceeding on that, but it's still, permit-wise, some way to go.
So it's not foreseeable when you can execute this expansion?
Unfortunately, not time-wise. And we have tried to guide on that, even for our own purposes. But as it became so complicated in the permit process, we are following up. And as soon as we have better view on that, because we don't want to confuse you with shifting that going forward, we come back to you as soon as we are more certain on that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. That's from my side.
The next question comes from the line of Mikhail of Tonchev of Kempen. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Mikhail Tonchev from Kempen. Just two questions from me. First off, the like-for-like revenue growth was negative 70 basis points. Can you let us know what the breakdown of that was between Germany and Central and Eastern Europe? And following on, so H&M is now your largest tenant due to the merger. Could you maybe share with us how the discussions have gone with them, given that they announced really not great results once again? Thank you.
Yeah, the first one is rather answer broadly. In abroad, we see a slight increase, but it's just accounting for 19% of the portfolio. So the major effect is really coming from Germany, and probably Germany would be then 10 or 20 bips above that in comparison to abroad, which contributed positively. Which HMM, yes, it's now our biggest tenant, but has become a little less, I wouldn't say important, but just number-wise, was 10 basis points down. So it is an important tenant, but we are not absolutely dependent on them, even though all big operators want to have the big names and all the big names want to be in the good shopping centers. So having said that, and you read how they perform at the moment, you can imagine that there are long discussions, but so far we managed to agree with them on the terms going forward. But of course, it's tough business. Yeah.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Georg Kanders of Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you had only a few valuation gains, but obviously there are then some centers where there are devaluations and others where there are higher valuations. Could you please mention the one at the top and at the end of the list?
Yeah. Maybe start with the top end. That was our center in Gdansk, which is really performing nicely, looking at the turnovers and at the income. And we own it long term, and we have a very good feeling about that. But the valuators came up with around a little more than plus 5%. And if you go to the lower end, it was our center in Wuppertal. Here there are some special reasons, and we can't do anything about it at the moment, because there's a big factory center being built in front of that building, or it's planned, put it one way, and the central place in Wuppertal was and still is a construction site, as they put the full street running between the railway station and our shopping center underground. So additionally, Primark is opening next door. Presumably, they just shifted that to end of this year, was expected to open. So there's a lot of things going on. It looks more from the outside like a construction site, and there was some pressure on the rents coming also from that end as frequency were lower. So these are some special effects influencing the valuation there. So it was minus 4.5%.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was basically the range. Yeah.
Next question comes from the line of Jochen Schmidt of Bankhaus Metzler. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Just one question on like-for-like rent development. The like-for-like rent decline which you reported has been drifting down throughout the year. Could you maybe comment a bit further on that, and what's your expectation for 2018? That's my question.
Yeah, I think looking at the numbers, it was always between minus 0.9 and minus 0.7%. So it hasn't really come down. And if you look at the guidance for 2018, we have included approximately the same number. But we are not that negative that this is an accelerating process from the point of view of today and the knowledge that we have. It's a little giving in from a high level that we have and a full employment of all shops. But I don't know whether this answers the question, but I think it will. We don't expect that to accelerate.
Yeah, maybe a brief follow-up on that. Sorry, I have to look it up, but I think you were actually, for the rent decline was a bit more pronounced after the first and second quarter. So that's why I thought it would have been drifting down slightly, still in the negative territory, of course. And therefore, maybe you could give a bit more details on whether you think it will decline further, I mean the rent decline, or whether we should assume the 2017 figure to be applicable for 2018 too.
Okay, now I got your question right. You mean the decline of the decline, that's what you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is talking about very small numbers at the moment, and the differences you could see is also we have usually some penalty payments for tenants leaving earlier, and they probably made up the difference. So I think the minus 0.7% is a fair view on the full year. And in our mid-guidance for 2018, we have employed the same number. We're not saying this is coming true, but this is what in the mid-guidance and the guidance range, you know, it's plus minus a little less than a percent. We don't see that accelerating, but we probably, in our planning, it's probably the same amount or same percentage. And, of course, we work on the decline of the decline and turn it around.
Okay, thank you. This answers my question.
Next question comes from the line of Thomas Effler of Oddo BHF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Just have a follow-up question regarding your tenant structure. Can you give us an update how your new tenant clients develop, like Tesla and the new formats?
I mean, we can comment on individual tenants. I mean, if you mention a name like Tesla, and then Tesla is probably not the one who's more, let's say, turnover driven. They use it as marketing space and make their turnovers at some place and point else and later. But I mean, you see, they have opened up the first shops here in the Alster Einkaufszentrum in Hamburg, and they open up more shops, like we just have a new one in the Main-Taunus-Zentrum. They definitely wouldn't do so if they wouldn't be happy with the effects, which is not really turnover booked in a shop in a Tesla shop. With all the other ones, the new ones, you traditionally could see that if you go to the page one, there you see usually the retail turnover development on a like-for-like basis, and it's usually a little lower than the turnover development overall. Like-for-like is always the tenants that have been there the 12 months in the previous year and the 12 months in the reporting year. And all the new ones are then excluded for the purpose of getting good like-for-like numbers. That always tells you that on average, the new tenants you get make better turnovers, which makes absolutely sense because you exchange older brands or you have a new, let's say, concept coming in, a new shop fit out. And so this on average tells you that they're doing fine. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry, we can't talk about individual brands for privacy reasons. Yeah.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. And there are no further questions.
Okay. Then we would say thank you from the side of Deutsche EuroShop. And yeah, then we would close the call.